All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. September the 8th, 2025, Monday. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We are finally starting to cool down. My God, it has been hot again. And cold front came through last night. Finally got some rain. Man, we were dried up. Got a day of rain, and now we have some cool temperatures this morning. Really beautiful out. Nice breeze. Windows are open. You know, one of those days. Just really awesome. Great summer we've had, but it's time to say goodbye. Goodbye. And it is Monday, starting a new week. Had a great weekend. Every day is great. It's pretty awesome, really. I give it all the credit to recovery and the 12 steps of this program. Because definitely had some tough, you know, some issues, right? But, you know, we worked through it thanks to the steps and, you know, practicing these principles and all of our affairs, all that good stuff, right? Just end up having a pretty decent sort of life. And, it is Monday, did have the weekend. My oldest son came back down. I guess he missed us. So I've been hanging out with him through the weekend, went up and saw my dad. We've been going to the gym. It's just, you know, and it's a crazy reminder because, like I've said before, he was, I wouldn't say he's the reason I got sober, but I remember going up to York, PA, and coming back, and his mother's like, "It's your week," and I was like, "Okay." And from that point on, you know, been making sure he's been taken care of, and he's grown up to be a great boy. He goes to a school, the University of Delaware, and first day he. They were handing out flyers for crew, and he took one and went and showed up. They had you had to have the physical fitness test just to see if you could even try out. You know, my son, he is physically fit. He is into it. He is a runner. He likes working out, lifting weights. He's into it. And so he went for the physical challenge, and he passed, and now he has been. Last week was his first week of crew practice, and he came down this weekend. He's like, "I don't know if I like it." And I was like, "Well, listen, man, you know, up to you." I have never been, I don't even know. Maybe it's a bad thing, good thing. I don't know, but I've never been the parent that pushes my kids into sports. They've all done them. David, my oldest, he did T-ball, and he did karate, and he did soccer. And he did cross country. Cross country was his choice. The other three, I just, you know, as a new parent, I'm like, well, let's get him into these things, right? And every one of them he tried, every one of them he liked, and every one of them he decided he didn't want to continue with. And I've often wondered over the years if I had or should have pushed him harder to stay in any of these things, but I didn't, right? I've always believed if it's something you want to do, try it. And it's not like it was like I tried one time and quit. He did a couple seasons of T-ball. He did a few seasons of soccer. We're not a very organized soccer area, unfortunately. I mean, we have good soccer, but I remember, I think I've even shared on this podcast when I had to volunteer to be the coach because we had no coach for our team. That was a terrible experience, but, you know, I did it. I tried it. I wouldn't do that again. But, you know, the point is he's tried everything and done it. And, you know, but he's a very physically fit guy. He's very, you know, my issue always was like, why don't you do something so you don't sit around all day, right? But these kids are always pretty active. So anyway, he came down and he said he's not quitting. He's going to try it for another week and see how he likes it. I go, "Is it getting up early that bothers you?" He's like, "No, I don't mind getting up early." And I go, "Is it the hard work?" He's like, "No, I don't mind that either." And I go, "Well, what's your problem?" And he's like, "I don't know." We did do the ocean paddling this year. I've always thought he would be great for that. And he had a great summer. You know, he enjoyed it. But in the beginning of that, he didn't even really like it. He wasn't sure. He was questioning. He had a few questions about certain things. But, you know, it's an evolution, right? It's an evolution, and he evolved into really enjoying the club. And, yeah, so we'll see what happens. He was down till last night and then went back home. I didn't want to ask him, you know, you're going to make practice tomorrow, right? I just sort of let him do his thing. He's 20, right? He's a young man. He's an adult, young adult. And he, you know, he makes good choices. He struggles in some of his choices. But I think, you know, I definitely did the same thing at that age. So he's way farther along than I was at 20. That's for definite. That's definitely a fact. And I'm really proud of him. But I just sort of have to sit back and, you know, let him figure it out. But yeah. And then, you know, obviously all this fucking politics, my God, it's unnerving the amount of shit. I mean, it's hard to avoid it. Everywhere I go, it's a conversation. You're either on one side or the other. And if you're not on one side, you're a bad person. And it's just, never in my life have I ever seen this kind of divide between people. Revolution Calling. I remember when this album came out, and I was like, man, this is dark. Well, I feel like we're living it right now. Revolution Calling right now. It's crazy. Thank God I have this program, because I have tiptoed around diving into some hostile conversations and luckily referred to the program most of the time, right? Most of the time. And refrained from pen and tongue or text. I've shared on the podcast, it wasn't that long ago, where I made some comments and got a beat down for it. It's a beat down. I could have continued, right? But I just was like, I just don't have the energy. And, you know, I learned a lesson, man. There's really some hostile people out there that love to get into it. I posted something on my Facebook, and my neighbor, who lives just two doors down, he's like, you're an idiot, and saying this shit. And I'm like, hey, man, you know, I really don't feel like getting into it with you. We're neighbors, right? We like you. We actually really like you. My daughter feeds their cats when they go out of town. You know, when it snows, I like to take my snow blower and go over there and plow their driveway and sidewalks for them, because we like them, right? They're our neighbors. We like to take care of one another. And I said, I really don't want to get to a place where I don't feel like doing that anymore. And he wrote back, he's like, yeah, we need to stick together. And we do. We need to stick together. The weird part about all this is I don't know if people's opinion is passionate because they believe in these things, or if they're caught up in just this propaganda stuff. And it's hard to tell what's really going on anymore. It's become just really crazy. So I just sort of, I guess, have to sort of step back. I sort of said that this morning. I think I just need to take a break. But, you know, whatever. I went to a meeting it was at noon, so this afternoon, I should say. Went to the, you know, Mondays I have some options. I have the 6:30 meeting that I usually go to, which is a step meeting. There's another 6:30 meeting that I go to, which is a literature. I kind of bounce between those two meetings depending on what step and what part of the literature. But if time is available and I can do it, I do like to go to the noon meeting. And, you know, that way I don't have to worry about doing any meetings tonight. My son Sam's comes back from his mom tonight, so he'll be with us. I told the kids I would take them out and buy them a Halloween blow-up for our front yard, so they're a little bit excited about that. So it frees up my night. But I did go to the meeting. It was great. It is also a literature, big book. I want to say the reading was 396. Something feelings. Let me see. 390. Winner takes all. 380. 396. No. What was it? I don't know. Something about feelings. Feelings. I know it was in the threes. How come? Anyway. Oh, here it is. 369, excuse me. Flooded with feelings when a barrier to God collapsed, this self-described agnostic was at step three. And it was a great meeting, great read. Go read it if you'd like. But it talked about, you know, the third step and really getting to this place, turning our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. And I've shared before how that step really sort of stumped me. The wording was confusing for me, my will and my life over to a care of a God of my understanding. Like a lot of pitfalls in that step. And, you know, some people shared and, you know, talking about different, you know, places they are in their recovery. And I wasn't going to share. And then I finally did. I decided to share. You know, when I think about my drinking, my journey as far as the dark side, right? You know, I didn't become that person that decided to get sober March 31st, 1997. I didn't become that person overnight, right? The book talks about, I even share, you know, where, you know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. The powerless over alcohol. You know, when I first started drinking back, you know, when I was in high school, right, I wasn't exactly powerless over alcohol, but I was powerless over the social side of it. You know, I was coming from out of ninth grade. I really had some struggles in ninth and 10th grade. I had my first girlfriend. I was sort of messing around with pot. I was just kind of out there, a little isolated due to the relationship. And I remember starting 10th grade, and I met a couple of friends of mine, Jeff and Mace, and we all had guitar first period, and they smoked pot, and I joined them, right? And we would smoke pot before school, and it became like this awesome adventure, right? And we would do that, and we'd go to guitar class, and we'd be high and, you know, playing guitar. It was really fun. And then we would start hanging out. I remember them asking, you want to hang out with us this weekend? We're going to do something on Friday night. And I was like, sure. Right. And I remember, you know, hanging out with them and having my first real social drink. And it was fun. Right. But, you know, I don't remember if I had that first drink that I couldn't stop. Right. I remember having the first drink and not wanting to stop. Right. It wasn't like this battle, like, gosh, guys, I just wish I couldn't drink another one, but I'm going to have to go ahead. Right. I was having a lot of fun. Right. And I drank like that for a long time. Did I get in trouble while I was drunk? Of course, right? Did I, you know, break things? Of course. Did I have bad relationships because of drinking? Of course. But was I powerless over alcohol? My perspective was I had never really considered that. You know, I never woke up the next morning going, geez, I wish I hadn't drinking 10. You know, it was always about how many we can drink, more. But I thought that that was just, you know, what everybody wanted to do. You know, and then I would drink, you know, more, you know, obviously drugs started showing up in my life, and I would use alcohol and drugs and sort of do that dance, and started getting involved in selling drugs because, you know, I like doing those too, right? It wasn't like I wish I just didn't do these damn drugs. I enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun. We stayed up all night. We threw darts. We drank. We went to bars. We, you know, we were having a fun life. So I lived that life. And then, you know, I've shared, you know, I got busted and went to jail. And then I escaped California. That was in 94. Came to Delaware, drove across the United States high on meth, couldn't get off that shit. Ended up here in Delaware. Thank God, you know, there was none of that here. And that's where I really turned all of my focus. And this is over, you know, a period of time where, you know, I'd learned, you know, drugs are illegal. Those are bad. Drinking isn't illegal. I can do that without any problems. As long as, right, I don't drink and drive, right, get in fights and all the other shit that would start to eventually happen because of the alcohol. You know, early on when I was drinking back in the day, you know, we would get in some scuffles, but that was usually around sarcasm, you know, being funny, someone's feelings getting hurt, saying something we shouldn't have said. But in the end, man, I became a very angry drunk, right? I would just start shit. And that would be the beginning of the end, this real dark period in my life of drinking. You know, I ended up in this one-bedroom apartment, drinking by myself, drinking every day, lowering my expectations of life, having really no hope. And it's just where I ended up. And when I, at that period of my drinking, in that period of my life, I would recognize that if I had one drink, I was going to drink a whole bottle. That's when I really started thinking about like managing the amount I drink, right? Like, let me just buy this, because if I just buy this, this will be hopefully all I drink, and I shouldn't get in any trouble, and I shouldn't drink and drive, and I shouldn't get mouthy, I shouldn't get in any fights. And that's when I would notice that when I would do that and I would buy that pint or whatever it is that I would buy, I couldn't stop, right? And then I would head out in the car to go buy more or go to a bar because of this demon, right, that was in me was like, we need more alcohol. It's not like I wanted it, it's just what I did. And you know, but that took a long time to get to that point. Listen, I'm so grateful that it didn't go on any longer, because I know people, especially, you know, over time, you know, I've met in recovery who, you know, raised families drinking like that, right? Who have had marriages and multiple jobs and careers and children and grandchildren drinking like that. I didn't do that, thank God. But it was probably, I would say, it was probably a good 10, 12 years of some pretty good partying. And, you know, one of the things that I've realized, especially as I look back on it today, you know, I look at where I'm at today in recovery, I didn't get to this place overnight, right? Someone once said it takes, if you walk into the woods for 10 years, it takes 10 years to walk out. And that's how I feel recovery is. You know, I didn't become that way. I've always said, you know, AA made me an alcoholic. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. But, you know, it's taken a lot of time. You know, I got sober in 97. I was sober almost 5 years. Picked up a drink I shared at the meeting. I think I stayed in the program for the first 4 years because I just liked having friends, right? Because the night that I got sober, you know, I had no friends. You know, I hung out with one chick who was pretty beat up, right? And she was just like me. You know, she drank like me, so that's why I hang out with her. Nobody else drank like me. And so nobody else wanted to hang out with me. And, you know, and I would hang out with this one person, and, you know, it was pretty crummy. So when I first came to the program, I, you know, I remember I got my first hug and I shook somebody's hand and somebody said, how are you doing? And we'll see you next tomorrow, or there's a great meeting tomorrow. And I'm thinking, I'm making friends, right? I'm having like a little bit of a social life here all of a sudden. And I remember going to my next meeting and taking a shower and putting on nice clothes and making sure I look good, you know, probably also, you know, secretly hoping I would find a girlfriend somewhere in AA, right? I think that's, I think a lot of us do, or a boy, whatever, a boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever it is. But I remember I would dress up and I would care, right? I started to care. And I've said this several times in several podcasts. I said it in the share that I had today. You know, my problem has always been I just didn't give a fuck. I didn't care. I didn't care about my parents. I didn't care about my neighbors. I didn't care about my employer. I didn't give a shit about anything. You know, I think back as going back as far as being a kid when we used to push my parents' car down the driveway and go joyriding all night. I didn't care. Did we want to get caught? No. But did we do it anyway? Yes. And that would be my whole problem, right? I've said before 100 times, before every drink, there was a decision, a choice. And, you know, that's what one of the great things about recovery and going to meetings is that we slowly get a little glimpse of caring. And, you know, people would say, I'll see you next week. And I'd be like, I'm going to be there, right? Because I care all of a sudden. And it felt good, right? It feels good to care. I hadn't cared for a long time. But, you know, over time, unfortunately, in 4 years, not really working a great program, acting like I wanted to do the steps, saying that I wanted to do the steps, actually doing the steps, but did I care enough to get into it? Was I honest enough? No, I wasn't. And I was like, well, you know, you hear people, if you don't do a good fourth and fifth step, you know, you really have a good chance of not staying sober. And I was like, not me. I really like being sober. I really like this, what's going on. So, you know, I knew that I didn't do a very good fourth and fifth step, but I really didn't care. I was like, you know, I'm different. And I don't know if that's why I drank again, to be honest. I really don't know what was behind that. I know that I stopped going to meetings, right? I know that I didn't like the way they collected money. So I said to myself, or somebody said to me in my head, we'll find another meeting. I don't think, ever really thinking we would. And, you know, eventually stopped going to that meeting and then eventually stopped going to all meetings, right? And then all of a sudden, this voice is like, you know, maybe we can try to figure out a way that we can drink that's going to work. And having the conversation with my wife and, actually, I just made a right turn into a liquor store one day and had a bottle of vodka. It was that quick. I mean, I was hiding bottles by the end of the week. It was probably a week or two that I decided, because, you know, one of the funny things for me, at least in recovery, is that as a person that's in recovery, everybody around me knows I'm in recovery. You know, my neighbors 2 doors down when we lived over in Easton knew I was in recovery. So it's not like I'm just, you know, coming up with this plan and, you know, bringing it to my wife for her approval, but I also had to bring it to my neighbor's approval. You know, everybody around that's been watching me, right, be sober now is going to start to have to hear why I think drinking's going to work. And, you know, first it was me. I talked myself into it, started drinking, and then went out to a restaurant with my neighbors while my wife was at work and decided to tell them, I think I'm going to have a beer with you. And they're like, what? And I go, yeah. And they're like, all right, you know, nobody understands the severity of my problem. And they're like, yeah, okay. And then I called my wife and I said, yeah, I think I'm going to start drinking beer and I'm having a beer with the neighbors. She's like, what? And it was really this unwinding. I wish I could, I pretty much can pinpoint it to one thing. I stopped going to meetings. You know, I remember going off to Easton and my sponsor's like, all right, you know, don't hang out in bars, right? Don't keep booze in your house for guests, right? Don't, you know, all of the typical rules that you would hear. But no one ever said, be careful if they don't collect the money the same way, right? Nobody ever mentioned that. And it was something that simple. And the next thing you know, I'm back at it. And then obviously, all I can recognize is that once I have one beer, I can't stop, right? My buddy Tom shared at a meeting the other night, and he talked about my story, my exact story, negotiating with his wife, which I did. I'm just going to have 2 beers a night on the weekends. So that means 2 beers on Friday, 2 beers on Saturday, and 2 beers on Sunday. 6 beers total. And my wife's like, that sounds like a pretty good idea. That should work. And, you know, her coming home on Friday, but I had already had a bottle of vodka. I had some other, another bottle hidden, and I had my two beers, right? And it's just madness. And then I would have my two beers, and then, of course, I would be like, do you think I could have a third, right? And nobody wants to be put through that shit. But he shared that in his story, this negotiation bullshit that takes place. And then, you know, they become absolutely sick of us. And then, of course, you know, I'm not drinking during the week, but of course I am. I'm drinking every day. And I have this limit, right? If you just drink this pint, you get two big drinks out of this pint, or maybe, I don't know, three small drinks out of this pint, right? And then if I just don't drink any more of that, nobody should really be able to know. And I could do that. As crazy as that is, I could do that. And I did that for a while. I would drink and nobody would know. But every once in a while, right, I would just go a little too far. And I would have to say, you know, I had a slip, right? I would fall back into these lies and bullshit. And it was a nightmare. And, you know, but luckily, you know, and I've shared, you know, finally moving back here and really letting the wheels come off the bus, wife walking out, waking up to an empty house, making that phone call to Marvin L, him driving down to come pick me up. And hopefully that would be my last drink. That was actually in 06. I've shared that. And then, unfortunately, in 08, changing my sobriety date because of pain pills, which I definitely at the time was like, I don't know, but definitely grateful because I get it today. But it took a long time, right? And then that was, you know, I'll celebrate 17 years this year. And, you know, honestly, really trying to go to meetings through that whole time. There was a period, you know, in Easton when I stopped going. I was definitely not going to meetings. But, you know, when I would get caught, I would go to a meeting, right? And when we moved back to, you know, the east side here, definitely trying to go back to meetings, but still struggling with drinking. So, you know, but it's been a long process. And then finally, you know, in 08, last drink, last drug, and here we are today. And but the journey's been real, and I've shared before, it wasn't because I had to, it was because I wanted to, right? This was something that I really wanted to do, and you know, I would start to have this spiritual awakening. But like I said, in this reading, it talks about the third step. And you know, to me, really the third step is when I started to care. Right, turning my will and my life over to the care of a God of my understanding, right? And the understanding now that I have is that, you know, he's with me if I'm struggling, right? Early on, you know, there would be, and the funny part is early on when I would struggle, I wasn't aware of what he was, you know, the conversation. But today, you know, like these freaking people on, you know, the internet, you know, like I said with my neighbor, you know, I had a choice. Right, he'd said something pretty chippy enough for me to really, you know, give me the green light to let loose, right? But today, right, I care. You know, do I care enough to not have posted something in the first place? You know, that's questionable, right? I didn't really think what I posted was that bad, but, you know, there's always someone that has a problem with something. And so, but you know, I had the opportunity. Let's get into it. Let's end the relationship with the neighbors today. And, you know, I'm like, no, I care. I care. I really like the neighbors. I care about them. They've been awesome to be neighbors with in the 2 years that we've been here. We've had some other issues with a couple other neighbors up the street, but, you know, I said to them, hey, you know, we love you guys. We like being neighbors and we enjoy our neighborhood. And so, but in the past, I'd have been like, go to fucking hell, right? You know, I'd have let them have it. And then, you know, maybe one day make an amends or maybe, I don't know. But, you know, it's really about today. It's about caring. And I learned a lot of that in the third step. And yeah, just really grateful for that. Not a lot else going on. I just wanted to come up and see if I could do a podcast. Let me read the Daily Reflections. I thought the Daily Reflections the other day was really cool. That Reconstruction one that we read, it was awesome. All right, let's see here. Daily Reflections. What will it be about today? Okay. September 8th. We asked his protection. We asked his protection to care with complete abandon. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 59. I could not manage my life alone. I had tried that road and failed. My ultimate sin dragged me down to the lowest level I have ever reached and unable even to function. I accepted the fact that I desperately needed help. I stopped fighting and surrendered entirely to God. Only then did I start growing. God forgave me. A higher power had to have saved me because the doctors doubted that I would survive. I have forgiven myself now, and I enjoy freedom I have never before experienced. I've opened my heart and mind to Him. The more I learn, the less I know. A humbling fact. But I sincerely want to keep growing. I enjoy serenity, but only when I entrust my life totally to God. As long as I am honest with myself and ask for His help, I can maintain this rewarding existence. Just for today, I strive to live His will for me soberly. I thank God that today I can choose not to drink. Today, life is beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool, man. You know, it's all about giving a shit, right? If I give a shit, I look into these things and try to prevent them from happening. When I didn't give a shit, you know where it led me. All right, well, listen, thanks for letting me share. I hope everyone has a great day, and talk to you later. Bye. When I'm tired of all this bullshit they keep selling me on TV about the communist plan.